If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey guys, I'm a podcast listener from San Francisco. You're welcome. I work at the airport, and today, legit, some human being literally pooped on the floor at the airport. So I just want to know, Omar, was that you? Because you're a weird, poopy, weirdo creep.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Everywhere you turn, there's poop. You can't escape the poop. It's like everywhere you turn, poop, poop, poop. Thank God I didn't wear designer today.
I know.
There it is. This is how we do it. Let the dogs out. Rock and roll part two.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, what she said. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday. It's the 12th of Rocktober.
Yo, it's Rocktober, and I don't have any two eyeballs. Can I get some two eyeballs, please?
It's nice. Steve.
Yeah.
Right? You guys are going to be surprised, as I was, how bad this really is, though.
Nope. Nope. Amazing.
You love it. I mean, he could have been mic'd better.
He's, what, 7?
I think he's 10.
Okay.
Not going to lie, though, that hook on the keyboards is great.
Right. It came from the attic.
Sorry, what? I'm not making any of it out.
Two eyeballs.
There it is.
You said two eyeballs.
I got that.
Okay.
Got that part.
Okay. Yeah. Right? That's worth it. Right,
Chip,
there.
Chip, I swear to God.
Oh, I'm covering it, dude.
You must. If you don't play this on your October 30th show with Well Hung Heart, then I don't even want to be
I'm covering this in All-Star. That's all I'm doing.
That's good.
I love that part where he goes, eyeballs, eyeballs, almost.
That night.
I had a dream.
It was about.
Wait for it.
Eyeballs.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you, my Halloween season is not complete until I hear a little bit of two eyeballs. And we really have been hearing from a lot of listeners who are like, hey, come on, what's the deal? It's the middle of October.
Yeah, I feel like we've really dropped the ball on Halloween music.
Welcome, you guys. How's everybody?
Real good, Dean. How about you?
Glad to hear that. Have you ever had, that's a dumb question.
Sex? No, not married.
Have you ever had, all right, how do I phrase it? A situation where you weren't sure which pet was yours. Do you think you'd always be able to tell your dog from any other dog? If we put
like
your
in a lineup?
Dog, yeah. Chip, if you put Mr. Pickles in a room with 100 other cats.
Well, I'm leaving him there. I'm going.
That's true.
You can stay in that stupid room.
You would never try to identify.
Nah.
That's true. But let's say I don't know what kind of breed Mr. Pickles is, but let's say you found 100 other cats that are the same lineage of Mr. Pickles. Would you be able to walk into that room and be able to find your cat? Would you know? Would you identify your own animal?
Yeah, because he'd attack my face.
That's true.
So that's him.
I always used to think that I would be excellent at that. And then, when I went to visit my donkey, you know, my donkey, who I had for almost 20 years, and then he was my last animal standing of livestock. And they're very social creatures, so he couldn't just live by himself. It's unhealthy for him mentally to not have friends. So we rehomed him to a donkey rescue in Alberta, Canada. And I went up to visit him a few months later because I missed my boy. And I thought, oh, it's going to be so great to see Happy again. And I pulled up and I walked in and there were 85 donkeys there. And I had no idea which one was my donkey. And I really thought I would be able to tell which one was him because I had him for 20 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
But donkeys pretty much look alike.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between a donkey and like a cockapoo, right? You know your dog.
Right, but I knew my donkey.
Not like, you know your dog, I don't think. Really?
I saw him every day, fed him every day, gave him baths, played with him, you know.
I didn't know it was that like that.
Well, no, okay. You know, I threw around the jolly ball and stuff. So what I'm saying...
Whoa.
No, it's not. It's a toy. What I'm saying is I thought I would recognize my donkey and he had to be pointed out to me. But I felt terrible about that because you should know your own family, right? Well, I say all that to say all this. There's a story in the news right now about a man in New Zealand who realized that his cat was acting weird. And he, like you do, hey, I'm concerned about my cat. I'm going to take him to the vet. And he did. Now, I don't know what was involved, but the vet visit ended up costing $130. And the doctor, very unclear, as usual, I need more information. The doctor prescribed him some anti-anxiety meds and told him to take his cat home and put his cat in a restful position and let his cat work through his funk.
Okay.
And that's exactly what he did. So he had his cat at home for 5 days recovery after the visit and then realized as his actual cat walked in the door that he had taken someone else's cat to the vet and had been essentially holding it hostage.
And
in his
drugging
house
it up.
And drugging it for 5 days. His cat walks in and he's like, what?
No.
So it was a case of mistaken identity. The clueless cat owner, this article says, missed several signs that he may have been dealing with the wrong pet, including a visit from the stolen cat's owner, who came door to door looking for his missing black cat.
This man said,
no, sorry, just my cat in here, not realizing that he had the dude's cat. So, I mean, I guess while he had not his cat, his cat must have been out roaming the neighborhood or something, right? So...
Yeah.
If it took 5 days for him to recognize, because I would have thought that cat, his actual cat, would have come back day one. And then he would have realized,
maybe it did, but he was like, he already replaced me with this drugged up cat. I'm out.
It turned out, by the way, that one of the cats was male, one of the cats was female. But they They do look almost identical. Well, I mean, look, unless you're in that neighborhood, you're not going to be able to tell, right?
Shouldn't the vet have noticed?
Yes, he has wondered about that as well when he brought it in, that maybe the vet should look. But
here's my lady cat, and he's like, ooh, got quite a penis. Would that come up?
I don't think the cat was there, though, for, like, neutering or spaying, though. The cat was there for behavioral issues, so they probably didn't even check
first thing
hood.
I look for if a dude has behavioral problems, small Willie.
Right? Exactly.
Who's with me, ladies? Give us a call.
Fortunately, by the way, the neighbors are fine with it. They're getting a good laugh about it, so the dude is not ticked. But imagine how awful it would have been for that guy who had his cat missing for 5 days and couldn't find him.
Here's the question.
Yes.
Do you ask that neighbor to now reimburse you for your kitty meds? You do not, by the way.
I can't think it's his fault. I don't think it's his fault. But that happened in New Zealand, and now other people are coming forward with their stories. And the worst one for me, it's got a happy ending, is the family somebody, I'm sorry, I just ran over your cat with my car. And the whole family is just weeping, weeping, weeping. And then all of a sudden their cat shows up at the top of the stairs, and he's fine. Wasn't their cat at all. But sometimes they can look very similar, I guess. So I don't know what the answer is to there, if you need to put a collar on them, put something on them so you can tell, I guess.
Do cats have collars?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if they're indoor-outdoor cats, you want somebody to be able to contact you in the event that they get lost or something like that.
If anyone has a gray cat and wants another one, I don't think my sister would miss hers.
Mr. Pickles. Is that cat going to live forever, by the way?
Yeah. It's like 15, and the vet's like, healthiest cat ever. I'm like, damn it.
Bad news. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Devine Show, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that checks out.
Speaking of animals, we're going to get a little deeper into something Ralph brought up yesterday briefly on the show, which is the standoff in his driveway on his way into work yesterday with a raccoon. I think actually with multiple raccoons.
Well, yeah.
It was a gang. And we have heard so many stories lately about how raccoon plus human equals raccoon. For some reason, they seem to be getting the upper hand in these battles in the neighborhood.
And these are not, when you think of a raccoon, like little boop, boop, just walking towards you, these are like straight up bears. They're huge.
I'm not sure that's true.
It is true. These are big, big, big raccoons.
How big are we talking? Well, I guess we'll wait. We'll wait and find out and talk to Ralph and see how threatening they really were. Also, we're going to talk about, speaking of Halloween music, we're going to talk about the Monster Mash today. There is a new theory about that classic song that we love and enjoy every Halloween. A new theory that is blowing people's minds, you guys.
You say that.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Okay. It's going to shake your world.
Nope.
You're never going to go on once you hear the theory. We need an update, and I apologize, Allie. I feel like we've dropped the ball a little bit on keeping up with Austin on Jeopardy.
I haven't dropped the ball. I've got his balls.
You are what? Still what? In front of the TV watching him live every night at 7:30?
7 o'clock here, yes. Okay. Love it so much.
All right, we'll find out what's going on with Austin. What's up with Florida on the program today? We are going to discuss, we didn't have time for it yesterday, but Eminem is everyone's talking about Eminem and this rap that he dropped on the BET Hip Hop Awards the other night. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have a lot of feelings about it, and we thought, who's the better person to go to than our hip-hop correspondent, Jensen Karp? So he'll be joining us on the program. The Dodgers are enjoying a few days off here before they move on in the next round of the playoffs on Saturday. We'll catch up with our friend Molly Knight, who literally wrote the book on the Dodgers. She'll be joining us just after 8 o'clock today. Actor Rob Hubel on the program today. This is starting to sound like a lot of show.
Yeah.
Jeez. And
Depeche Mode.
I'm exhausted already. And more tickets for Depeche Mode, you guys. Coming to the Hollywood Bowl. All of that, plus Ralph and the Showbiz Beat next on K-Rock. Ralph, I know you said that was your song of the summer, that Portugal the Man song. Here we are heading very, very close to Halloween, and it's still one of my favorite songs on the radio.
Because it still feels like summer. Mm-hmm. It's still hot out there, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, but when you hear that song, though, I'm not tired of it, even in the slightest. I still love it when it comes on the radio. I still turn that one up.
Very snappy.
Yes,
it is. Very peppy.
Something about it. Yeah. All right, 5:54. It is Thursday morning. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Get off Pornhub.
No. Oh.
How can you see my browser from there?
Because I'm psychic. Get off of Pornhub.
I can still.
No, you neither.
Oh.
Neither. Nother.
How about me?
You can stay on.
Cool. Excellent.
We did find out this week that it is one of the 20 most visited websites in the U.S.
Yeah, and now you have Kovter to worry about, right?
Is that related to Covfefe?
No, it's different.
Oh, is that one of the categories that you can pick? Like if you were to pick categories on that?
Cybersecurity firm Proofpoint says it has uncovered a virus called Kovter. K-O-V-T-E-R. Kovter.
Okay.
Which has been routinely attacking visitors for more than a year. After visiting the site, users would get a tab which would pop up saying there was a critical update for whichever web browser the viewer was using.
Uh-huh.
And if the user clicked that update button, the virus would then be downloaded immediately to your computer, where it would track your personal information and browsing habits.
Does it?
A year this has been going on.
Wow. That
so seems... if you're a frequenter of Pornhub, mm-hmm. and you've ever done a critical update when you've gotten a notification, you have been exposed to this virus.
That's good information to put out there.
Pornhub is the most popular porn website in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
An estimated 80 million daily visitors worldwide, you guess.
Huh.
80 million individual users every day. And as being mentioned, the 20th most popular website overall in the United States.
Alexa, Pornhub.
Oh, come on.
Alexa, Pornhub.
That poor lady. That we keep doing that, too. Go to X-Hamster. I like X-Hamster.
I'm okay with RedTube.
I think X-Tube. I like X-Tube. Okay. More amateur stuff.
I just cut through all the nonsense and get right to tentacleporn.com.
Tentacleporn.com? What is that even?
I just start there. That way I don't have to navigate through the menu to get to it.
What is tentacle porn?
Literally tentacle porn. So he doesn't have to go through all the different types of porn.
I know, but what do you do with a tentacle?
Well, I don't
know. How is it even porn?
I can't discuss it on the radio, but look.
Lots of suckers.
This is going to be a long day. Bean and She Bean double teaming me.
What?
It's a whole other category.
Another category.
Yeah. Daisy Ridley is the best.
She sure is.
I cannot wait for this new Star Wars film. She was being interviewed, like she will be now for the next year. And she was saying she thinks she may be the only up-and-coming actress that doesn't want to launch her own clothing line. She has no interest in clothing. She said she was a little tomboy when she was growing up and compares her fashion style to that of a four-year-old boy. She said she just likes comfortable clothing and she doesn't really worry all that much about fashion, which I find remarkably refreshing. She says of other starlets and stars that she looks at and admires their fashion, Rihanna is the most fashionable person, in her opinion, when she looks out there. I guess that's probably true. And you may not know this about Daisy. You wouldn't necessarily think that. She seems like a demure little thing. She's a big fan of body art and has four tattoos.
Daisy.
Which she said is four more than her mom wanted her to get. So, there you go. I'd like to know where they are. I mean, what they are.
Ralph.
Right? No,
we haven't seen any of them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. This thing on?
Mm-hmm.
No one has any guesses?
Oh, I mean, just, it's impossible to tell with movies. I mean, they could be right on her arm and just, they cover them up, you know?
Whatever, or they could be
somewhere else, right?
They could be in secret places, yeah. Right.
Could have a tramp stamp of Luke, which just says, Daddy.
All right, Christine
got
has
an exhaust port of the Death Star.
Right?
Someplace.
Christine has an update on at least one of them. She showed a foot tattoo in her recent Vogue magazine interview of stars.
Okay.
Tattoo of stars.
Mm-hmm. So I thought for a minute, literally, she had a tattoo of a foot someplace on her body.
Forehead.
A foot tattoo.
No, tattoo on her foot.
Like that Monty Python foot that comes down at the beginning of the show.
She's adorable.
She is. And, of course, still more fallout about Harvey Weinstein. Apparently this weekend, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will be meeting to decide whether to strip Harvey Weinstein of his association with that organization, which I think they should do if they're wise. And Ben Affleck now is getting the fallout that's going on online about his behavior. He, of course, deeply connected with Harvey Weinstein from his films, starting as far back as Good Will Hunting. Hillary Burton, the actress, claims that she was groped by Affleck during MTV's TRL back in 2003, and she reposted the footage of that happening yesterday. And then there was another video of him getting very handsy with a Canadian TV host named Anne-Marie Losk. And I guess it's all about perception, right? It's about how the woman feels about what you're doing. Because Hillary Burton, for example, said she felt violated and groped and sexually harassed by Affleck's attentions. Mm-hmm. Whereas this Canadian TV host came out yesterday and said that video has been blown completely out of proportion. He never touched me in any proper way. We were just having fun. And I find it sad that this could affect him in a negative manner. So I guess it's really about how the woman feels about it, not necessarily what the guy is doing. So.
Well, I mean, have consensual interactions with people, right?
Yeah.
That's the takeaway here.
Yeah, that's how you know that it's always welcome, right?
Right.
When someone says, yes, tickle me. Elmo?
I often, when I was interviewing men, I'd be like, don't tickle me right now in the middle of the interview.
Mm.
That didn't happen. I didn't get tickled.
No one tickled you? Ben Affleck never tried to tickle you?
No, and I will tell you this. I'm concerned that I would have let him. Quite frankly.
Then there wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, it would have been consensual, would have been fine.
You'd have been like, oh, that was fun, flirty stuff, right?
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he would have been like, I'm loaded. And I'd been like, what?
And this deflate is the worst thing that ever happened.
See, then we'd talk for hours.
Yeah, I'd be that guy. Today's celebrity birthday is Hugh Jackman is 49 years old today. I just saw that Logan again. I was on a plane and there was nothing really worth watching. I watched Logan again. Boy, that's a good damn movie. There you go. It's my hot take. Kirk Cameron is 47 years old today. And Josh Hutcherson celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Good morning.
Rock and roll.
Good morning.
Hey, it's a miracle that Ralph Garman is even here today.
It is. You're right.
You essentially...
You're fending off packs of wild animals.
Yeah. You're essentially a prisoner in your own home at this point. Like, they have taken over most of the neighborhood and they're surrounding your place and you really have to essentially do the marine crawl to get to your car in the morning.
It's a nightmare. I feel like Tarzan.
We had that story last year, the year before, about that guy up in San Francisco. Remember, who got attacked by a gang of raccoons?
Yeah, they were following people on walks.
Following people, right.
And we They're the worst animal in the world. They need to be eradicated.
We started to talk then that it seems like the raccoons are becoming a little bit more organized, a little bit more disciplined, starting to get starting to get packs together.
Don't worry about the apes, people. Worry about the planet of the raccoons, because that's what's coming.
So how many coons are we talking about here, Ralph?
How many raccoons are we talking about? Yes, we're talking about two.
How big
two
were they?
Massive, vicious, predatory raccoons.
Allie said
cornered
earlier
me yesterday.
They're bear size, she said.
They are larger. They're the size of a Winnebago. They were the two that I saw. And they're dangerous, and they're predatory, and they're terrifying. And I was lucky to escape with my life.
I don't know if you know, they can weigh up to 60 pounds. Raccoons. Hmm.
Yeah, these two, seriously though, yesterday I came out of my house to come to work, so it's dark out, and I hit my alarm deactivator on the key fob, and the headlights go on when the alarm gets turned off, and there, by the garage door, looked up at me two massive raccoons. One was a little bit bigger than the other, but they looked like the size of two good-sized dogs.
Oh, dear.
And so the alarm must have startled them, and the light shone on them. And I say, okay, there they are, and they're near my garage, and in between the car and the garage door. And I'm just going to slowly just work my way around the car to the driver's side, and I will get in, and I will just drive off, and they'll go about their business. So as I go to approach the car, they approach me. And they're up on their hind legs. Mm-hmm. They look at you with those beady little eyes, and they have human hands.
Yeah.
They're Trump-sized, but still, they're human.
Yeah.
And they're wearing their masks. I don't know where they but you buy those masks. Yeah. But that was nuts. And they're just staring me down and approaching me.
Right.
Now, I've got my work bag that I carry my stuff in, and I start kind of waving that in front of me, kind of to wave them off, thinking, well, this motion will startle them. And it didn't. It just stopped them in their tracks. So I back up, and I go back behind my car, and I go to the driver's side of my car. And as I come around, they have come around to the driver's side of my car.
Oh, my God. And they have pipes and bats?
One had a bat with a nail in it.
Okay.
And the other one had what I think was like an old-timey zip gun made out of a piece of pipe and a nail.
They're following you now.
Now they're following me.
It sounds to me like a carjacking is getting ready to happen.
So now we're both about equidistant from the driver's side door. And I'm thinking, if I go to the door and something happens,
what if they jump in?
Right.
Oh,
then
God.
I got a car full of raccoons.
Yes.
So now it's a quandary. I don't want to open the car door for fear of passengers, but I got to get to work. So I think to myself, aha, smarter than the average raccoon, right?
Uh-huh. Right, right.
So I haul ass real quickly around the car, and I jump in the passenger side.
In my own driveway, by the way.
And I close the door. I'm in the passenger side, and I look out, and they're still on the driver's side. So I crawl over my stick shift, and I got in the driver's side, and I was able to leave because I had gotten in the passenger side.
I hope you opened the window a little bit and just said, suck it.
Charbroiled raccoons.
You're just lucky they didn't let the air out of your tires, you know, while you were crawling over the dash there.
Yeah, they did chase me down the street and screaming at me as I drove away.
Are raccoons an aggressive animal, though?
What do you think from that story?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they were getting a little close for comfort there, but I don't think about raccoons in general attacking people. I would think that they would be afraid of people, but maybe in a residential neighborhood where they're so used to seeing people, they no longer have any kind of fear of what's going to be done to them.
How many stories have we just talked about of people being attacked by raccoons?
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think more likely than not, they're going to run away from you.
I've done a little raccoon research.
You have?
Because
I thought
interesting that both Kevin and you and Christine said she sees them outside when she comes in here
at the station
at K-Rock.
Raccoons,
what they apparently do, they don't want to get aggressive at humans. So what they do is they bluff. They like try and psych you out. So they'll kind of grunt and go, and sometimes charge at you to freak you out. But they're just as scared.
Really?
How do people know that? How do we know that? How do we know what's a bluff and what's real? When are they holding the royal flush and when do they just have a pair of tubes?
Right? You have to watch the eyes, which is hard with the masks.
Watch the eyes.
So, yeah.
I don't want to get close enough to watch their eyes because then their rabid fangs have plunged into the meat of my flesh.
Just be wary of the ones that wear the baseball hat with the hoodie over it.
I see, yeah.
That's a tough one to figure out.
That's some good advice for today, kids. Well done.
Green Day on K-Rock, LANOC's alternative rock.
106.7 KRQ. More tickets for Depeche Mode. By the way, Ali, should people just stop emailing you and inviting you to Depeche Mode?
Oh, no. Never stop.
Never stop. Okay.
Never stop.
Because it's a knife in Ali's heart every time we give away yet another pair of these Depeche Mode tickets because they're your favorite band of all time and you still don't have them.
Guys, guess what?
You got them.
I'm going Saturday.
Yay!
You got
tickets. All right. The kids are happy.
Crisis
situation.
Crisis averted then.
Yay.
All right. So anyway, more Depeche Mode tickets coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. All right. It is Halloween time, and that means it's Monster Mash time. Give me a little bit of that Monster Mash, that holiday classic, would you please? I mean, come on. When you hear this, Ralph, every time.
Here comes Igor.
You love it, right? You turn it up. I mean, it's a graveyard smash.
Is it? I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. And my monster from its slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
I mean, you can't not.
It is the Monster Mash.
You can't not sing along.
It was a graveyard smash.
You can't not love it. That song has been around. Okay, all right, you can bring it down now. That song has been around
for... the Monster Mash from my laboratory in the car.
All right, you turn it down now. We gotta talk about it.
Come on! I don't want to talk about it. I want to bathe in it.
I want to be about it.
So you're with me on this one. I know there's mixed reaction on the show here about Halloween spooks, but we can all agree that Monster Mash is the best, right?
I don't think
great
so.
Song.
I don't like it.
I bet Kevin does hate the Monster Mash.
I'm sure
actually.
He does, yes.
The song has been around for 55 years. It was first a hit back in 1962, and then inexplicably became a hit all over again nearly 10 years later. It went back into the top 10 in 1973, and has never been off the radio ever since. So you think you know everything there is to know about the Monster Mash.
I do. I know everything there is to know about it.
Even though Bobby Boris Pickett is singing in the voice of Boris Karloff,
he is
not the monster in the song, you know.
No,
he's
of course
the doctor.
Not. You know, we all know that. He says right in the beginning that my monster rises from the slab. He was working in the lab. He's the doctor.
A lot of people are confused though because he's singing like Frankenstein's monster that he is. They think he's the monster, but he's not. He's the doctor.
I hate people.
Okay. Now there's a new theory. In fact, I brought this up on the show yesterday. The Showbiz Beat, and I promised that we would have an update on it. Could we hear some of that tape from yesterday? Have you seen the Monster Mash controversy that's sweeping the internet right now?
Is there a controversy that's
sweeping the internet? I'll give you a dollar.
There's a new theory about the Monster Mash that is blowing people's minds, but we'll have to save it for another time.
Wow. Nice tease.
I'm going to put $20 on not blowing people's minds.
Blowing people's minds.
How about
minds?
Sweeping the internet? Are we get any money on sweeping the internet?
Neither.
A lot of people are saying, right? Uh-huh. This is an important breakthrough.
Millions and millions of Monster Mashes, okay?
All right, here it is. So it seems now people are paying close attention to the lyrics and it is freaking them out. It turns out, according to a tweeter named Lawrence Miles, here's what he says. Guys, I'm here to red pill you all. You've never heard the actual Monster Mash. You've just heard a record about the Monster Mash. This is his mind-bending theory, this is Bobby Pickett is a non-monster. We just talked about how he's the scientist. Mm-hmm. He is recalling an occasion when he saw monsters mashing. At best, his recording is only a rough approximation. So he's singing about watching monsters dance to the Monster Mash. The song that we think of as the Monster Mash is a record about the Monster Mash. That's some Inception-level stuff right there.
I can't believe...
I mean, this is it?
I can't believe you would take up airtime to say that.
That does change everything.
It doesn't change anything.
It changes everything because...
The premise of the song has always been about him watching his monster do the Monster Mash.
But you think...
But what is he mashing to is the question.
You think he's mashing... You think his song is the Monster Mash that the monsters are dancing about.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
This new theory is saying it's not. It's a song about watching the Monster Mash.
So what are they actually mashing to? We need to find that song.
That's what we don't know.
That is the song.
song that they do the Monster Mash to?
Well, no,
or is it? Or he's talking about them.
No, it is.
Read the lyrics
God
again.
God damn you to hell.
Read the lyrics
okay,
again.
Okay, if this is your logic, then Come On Baby, Let's Do the Twist is a song about inviting someone to do the twist.
But what are they not twisting about,
it's
to?
Not, the song itself is not actually the dance song to the twist.
So you're saying this conspiracy goes even deeper than the Monster Mash.
Dumbass BS. And I want to punch this guy in the nose.
You're saying that we have just stumbled into the biggest cover-up since the Kennedy assassination,
no,
is what it sounds like to me.
I'm saying bag, desert, you.
What if
fire must cleanse us,
what if it's not the Monster Mash? What if it's just a tribute to the Monster Mash? And by the way, another tweeter pointed out there's nothing in the song that suggests that it took place around Halloween either, even though it's become a Halloween classic. It could have been a 4th of July party, for all we know, the Monster Mash. Doesn't that change everything?
No, it changes nothing. You're the worst person ever.
Look, I'm just saying, I saw that and I started thinking hard about it, and I think he could be right. I think we still don't know what the Monster Mash is. I think it's just a song about the Monster Mash.
You
That's
know what I just realized?
Think.
I have the power to make this all end.
Oh, Chip, please. Put us out of our misery.
How dare you. Molly Knight, the author of the best-selling book, The Best Team Money Can Buy, all about her Los Angeles Dodgers, joins us on the program later on today to talk about the playoffs. Also, Allie's continued fascination with Austin on Jeopardy in just a few minutes as well.
So good.
Is he still on? Is he still playing?
He's going to be on forever.
When
Ralph.
Does he leave? When do we get
never,
to not talk
never.
About him?
Because once he leaves, obviously he'll be back for the Tournament of Champions. I mean, he's the best.
Hey, Ken Jennings got a whole career out of appearing on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Right? So we should have learned our lesson. That's when we should have nipped this in the bud.
Nope.
The world doesn't need another Ken Jennings.
All of that coming up on K-Rock First Wraps here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's going on?
He's a douche, right, Ken Jennings?
He seems like the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
Genuinely nice.
Massive douche.
He's smart.
No
funny.
Austin.
Changed his name to Ken Massengill.
Oh, that's a douche. Yeah.
Is that still a thing, douching?
I
call
believe
it now if you
it
douche. 1-800-520-1067. It's douche talk here on a Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't think it's great for you because I think it disrupts the order of what should be happening in your hoo-ha.
I've always heard it's not good for you at all. I should never do that.
I think you shouldn't use certain douches that contain different like byproducts, that type of thing, but just a
byproducts.
Like some contain
like an Alpo?
No, some not Alpo, but like a vinegar type douche. A lot of people do that.
Don't
you should
use vinegar,
not.
No. Vinegar and oil, right?
Yes.
Like a nice salad.
A nice balsamic down there. Just bring bread.
No anchovies. Don't use the Caesar salad dressing.
No.
The vaginas are so gross.
Bean, you're surprisingly quiet on douche talk.
I was looking for good vagina sound bites.
Like you did.
Glad you added sound bites to that sentence.
Like this one.
Vaginas are weird. Get over it.
No, they're not. They're wonderful. But I've heard you're not supposed to because, like Allie said, it upsets the natural balance, the pH balance or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? You're more susceptible to yeast infections and things like that.
Yeah.
So you think that may be a product that science is now urging you to leave out. Leave
right.
Behind. Don't do it anymore.
Right. That's what I always heard.
Gotcha.
Well, we're out of time.
Vagine is special. Do you want to see it? Take a look.
It's from my Broadway play. Working on it. Thank
That's
you.
That's great. Allie, exclamation point. Well, in vagina news, Rose McGowan, of course, famously sued Harvey Weinstein, the showbiz douchebag, for sexual assault. Back, I guess, in 97 this event happened or whatever.
Right.
And she's been very vocal about it on social media as well since this news broke with this all these women stepping forward talking about what Harvey Weinstein did to them. She also accuses Ben Affleck of having known the whole time what Harvey was up to, even though he claims otherwise, that he was not aware of the mogul's behavior. But now, in a weird turn of events, she has been silenced on Twitter. Rose McGowan's Twitter account has been suspended. And no one can seem to find out just why. Now, she did come at Affleck and told him to F off, and she was using very strong language in terms of her calling him out, but certainly no more so than anyone else has ever done in any other situation during a Twitter feud or something like that.
Yeah, you don't get bumped for bad language.
I'd be done.
Right, me too. And no one can figure out why she's been suspended, but she did post on her Instagram the message she got from Twitter saying she had been suspended for 12 hours. And she put a call out to other people to go to her site and to retweet the tweets that she has put up there to slam the individuals involved in this situation, including Ben Affleck and others who she claims knew of Weinstein's behavior but failed to act.
This is a bad look for Twitter.
I think so,
it
too.
Is.
I mean,
of all people to silence, why would you silence a victim of sexual assault?
Certainly not silencing neo-Nazis. Certainly not silencing men that say they want to rape and kill you. Certainly not silencing the leader of the free world that threatens nuclear war to a whole country.
Yeah.
But she is talking about people that have made other people's lives hell, and she silenced that? That's Jack. And you are not doing good.
And it certainly doesn't seem to be anything demonstrably actionable in terms of what she tweeted. I've been following her tweets, and I haven't seen anything that is abusive or intimidates anyone. Or
libelous, either.
Or libelous, yeah. Well, they're not really worried about that so much, but they do have a... Here's their policy. In order to ensure that people feel safe expressing diverse opinions and beliefs, we do not tolerate behavior that crosses the line into abuse, including behavior that harasses, intimidates, or uses fear to silence another user's voice.
Which we're now going to do to you.
Yeah. Because she doesn't...
Exactly.
I don't think she, look, I don't like Rose McGowan. We had a run-in many years ago that makes me often joke about what a bitch she is.
She's getting a raw deal here?
I think she's absolutely getting a raw deal.
And by the way, it doesn't even seem very... that Twitter is taking it very seriously if they're only suspending her for 12 hours. It's really just a slap on the wrist.
You're supposed to delete the
offending tweets.
And then, go think about what you've done wrong and come back in 12 hours.
Go sit in the corner.
So is it possible there were tweets that she has deleted?
I don't know. No one seems to know the answer.
So Jack.
There's that, Jack. Come on, Jack. This is good news. How about a new album from Green Day? Well, not a new album, but a good album. What do you mean, Ralph? Well, let me explain. Their new, greatest hits record they're putting out.
Yay! Wow. It's going to be a long album.
Their last LP, Revolution Radio, came out almost exactly a year ago, and they have just announced that their next project is going to be a greatest hits collection entitled Greatest Hits, God's Favorite Band. And the list is about 20 tracks on there. They'll be laid out chronologically, starting with 2,000 Light Years Away from 1991. And then moving up right to the present. So,
you know, I was surprised to see this news because greatest hits albums, because of streaming now, because of people putting their own collections together and whatnot, they just don't make them anymore. You very rarely even hear about or see greatest hits albums anymore.
Yeah.
Well, Green Day can do what they want to do.
I'm just excited about those new songs.
Yeah. I want to remind folks, Friday, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage once again for Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
We're going to have a good time. It's been a while since we've been in town, so we're looking forward to getting back on the stage at the Improv. Come on out and see us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon this
I don't like the tone of your voice.
I think you do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Jackman is 49 years old today. Kirk Cameron is 47. Someone suggested we revisit Kirk Cameron's explanation about how there is a God because of bananas.
Mm.
Well,
it's the perfect food.
It's the perfect food because God made it to fit into the human hand, and that's proof that there is a God because God made bananas fit perfectly in our hands to eat.
So there's a beer.
True. That's true. That is also proof of God, by the way.
Right. Beer. Benjamin Franklin, was it? Who said that?
I think it was Franklin. Josh Hutcherson is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A listener asked a few weeks ago what the most played songs of the last 15 years were on K-Rock. I don't know why that arbitrary amount of years, but 15 years. And we looked it up, and that was it. Foo Fighters All My Life. Chip, thank you for reminding me of that. And by the way, good choice, right?
Yeah.
You're going to play one song more than any other song. That's a pretty good one to play. So Foo Fighters on K-Rock, it's Thursday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about a little What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Miss Alan McKay?
Bean.
What lengths do you go to make sure you are not being secretly videotaped at home?
I don't know why you think it's weird not to have anything like a Roomba or a Amazon, whatever they are. Who's
Alexa.
That lady? Alexa.
Right.
I don't know why you think it's weird to cover up your laptop as well as the camera on your iPhone.
Yes.
Everyone should be doing this.
Yeah.
And keep an eye on your smoke detectors, people.
This is what I'm saying. This is Allie. Allie is making sure nobody ever sees her in her house. And look, it's creepy if it ever turns out that that happens.
Well, it does. People can spy on you through your computer. There have been stories on the Today Show on Good Morning America where people are watching you in your home and you have no idea.
Well, you're going to be terrified
to hear
this story in What's Up with Florida. This is an Indiana couple that is renting a place on Airbnb.
Oh,
and by the way, I feel even terrible bringing this story to the air because anyone who travels who uses Airbnb, you're never going to be able to not think about this. Derek Starnes and his wife were one night into their stay in the Longboat Key area of Florida when they realized that something was weird with the master bedroom smoke detector. Derek took it down from the ceiling and they realized it wasn't a smoke detector at all. It was a secret camera recording HD video and audio of him and his wife right above the bed. He called police. They searched the rental, discovered a second hidden camera in another area of the house. So they went in and seized computer storage data devices and hard drives, computers and laptops, anything that would store data. They're now looking for other people who have stayed at this address at 623 Cedars Court for the past 2 years. Police arrested the owner of the rental, a 56-year-old man named Wayne Knapp. They've charged him with video voyeurism. He claims that he used the cameras to film sex parties in his home, but never filmed anyone who stayed in the Airbnb without their consent.
Mm-hmm.
He says everyone was aware that he was videotaping them, and the police said, then if that's true, why did you hide the cameras in a smoke alarm? I have a feeling this story is going to break down and they're going to find that he's been taping everybody who's rented out his place for Airbnb for the past. I don't think he was restricting the recording to his own sex life. Do you?
See, I just said watch out for smoke detectors.
You certainly did. You certainly did. Anyway, have fun staying at your next Airbnb, you guys.
Thanks, Pete.
A 27-year-old man was rushed to the hospital in Vero Beach. This story made national news because he is a Dallas Cowboys fan and his wife is a Green Bay Packers fan. And they had a series of bets around the game on Sunday night. He ended up losing. Wasn't this the game Aaron Rodgers had another one of his unbelievable comebacks in the last minute to take the lead and win the game? Well, he went outside to burn his Dallas Cowboys jersey. Apparently that was one of the wagers that he had. By the way, how did a Cowboys and a Packers fan ever get married? Doesn't it seem like
crazy
that would be
kids.
Enough to keep them apart? So he walked outside their house and set his jersey on fire, but apparently he was so drunk that he then immediately after that decided to try to put the jersey on.
Oh.
He put a flaming jersey on his body and obviously caught fire. Mm-hmm. Skin was hanging off of his arm and back. They had to throw him to the ground and stomp on him to try to get the fire out, but took him to the hospital. He was recovering at Indian River Medical Center, so he had a bad night. His team lost, mm-hmm. and he got drunk and burned and ended up in the hospital. And by the way, even if you're his wife, you're so excited about that win, that kind of puts a damper on your enthusiasm for winning the bet, right?
Does it?
I would think so. I would hope so.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Although he is a Cowboys fan.
Right? So he remains a Cowboys fan at the end of this.
Allow it. Here's a man in Pinellas Park in this edition of What's Up with Florida. He was arrested after walking into the Achieva Credit Union and indicating to the teller that he had a gun. Give me the cash. He ran from the store with the cash. It doesn't say how they were able to track him down to a nearby hotel, but in interviews, detectives said that Mr. Johnson told him he was in need of money and he had searched on Google for how to rob a bank. Not sure why that was part of the exit interview, and I'm also not sure why he didn't Google a little further to find out how to get away with robbing a bank.
Right.
Because whatever he learned was not enough for him. Here's a bizarre story. This is an example of how to do everything wrong in the event that you are arrested. This man is in Jacksonville and he is drunk and he is in the Golden Rooster Bar and Grill. Employees there had asked him numerous times to leave and he wouldn't. Well, he was outside standing in front of the bar when police arrived, but when he saw the cops coming, he ran inside because, as he said later, he wanted his beer. He refused to leave, was placed under arrest for trespassing. While in the car, he tried to bribe the police officers, saying he would pay them both $50 if they would just let him go.
Huh.
The report said the officer asked the man if he was trying to bribe them, and he said yes.
And I will also throw in some donuts. So not only $50 for letting this go away, I'll throw in some donuts. Now, if you're offering donuts to a police officer, does that seem like a compliment? Doesn't it seem like you're kind of mocking them, making fun of them a little bit?
I feel like you are, but what if that particular officer is like, still their donuts? So I'm in.
That's true. All right. So the officer says no to the $50. Then he says no to the donuts. Then Mr. Barnes became agitated and started kicking the seat. Officers say he then threatened to shoot them the next time he saw them on the streets. He told them he has a .45 pistol and he kills people for a living. Again.
Nope.
The only thing that happened here is you were drunk and disorderly. Now you're adding on bribery. Now you're adding on potential assault charges. Shut up. Stop talking, Mr. Barnes. He tried bribing them again after that and offered them $1,000 each if they released him. Needless to say, they did not. His court appearance is set for Halloween. And one more, and I wish Kevin were here today because maybe he would be able to explain the mindset of this man in Lehigh Acres. He tried to jump a canal. Before attempting the jump, witnesses were quoted telling the TV station that they saw the man drive right up to the edge of a canal in Florida and then get out of a car to take a look at how far across it was. Then he backed up and tried to drive his car through the air over a canal. By the way, it was 20 feet side to side. He did not make it. He was not injured, but his Toyota Corolla was totaled. Investigators say they were not sure why the man even attempted the jump, noting all he had to do was drive a few blocks to get to the other side. But he was trying to make a shortcut, and he did not make it. Oof. I mean, drunk, right? I would think.
Yeah.
Or just some sort of daredevil or YouTube or something. It's just not a good
daredevil trying to get on YouTube.
Right?
Yes.
That's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Eminem is back. He was on our TVs on the BET Hip Hop Awards a couple of nights ago, and a lot of people have a lot of feelings about what he's saying. By the way, I haven't seen anyone burning his records, but I have seen a lot of people promising to never listen to him again as a result of his rap the other night, Allie.
Oh, dear.
We're going to talk to Kevin Bean, hip-hop correspondent Jensen Karp, coming up in a few minutes. First, though, what's going on with you and your boyfriend, Austin?
Listen, do I love Jeopardy? Yes. Have I been tweeting more about this contestant than contestants in the past? Absolutely. And there's a reason for it. He's magic. And if you're not watching right now and you just kind of tune in and see maybe a couple different things with Austin, you're going to be like, kind of seems like a D-bag. No. You have to kind of get to know the whole Austin.
Really?
He's layered. He's complex. He's wonderful. He's a bartender from New York, if people don't know about him. He's, I think, about 38. He started off, he had crazy hair. He looked like Will Ferrell, kind of with an afro almost.
I thought he looked like Zach Galifianakis the first time I saw him.
A little bit. Like if Zach and Will had a baby, it would be Austin.
All right.
But now he has a haircut. He looks a little different, but still the same Austin. And I will say this. We're going to play some clips so you can kind of get to know him. But it's all about the visuals as well, because he's just doing these hand motions. One of my favorite things is, you know, at the beginning where they introduce the contestant, they say where they're from, and it's that slow pan in and they're just staring at the camera creepily. That's when Austin chooses to pantomime something. And my favorite is when he blows up an imaginary balloon and makes it into a puppy. So he's just
I can't even imagine that.
Just watch some videos of Austin. You too will fall in love.
Now, he is the reason a lot of people are talking about him is because he has a personality more so than you usually see on Jeopardy.
Right.
But also, he's a big, big winner, right?
Yeah. After last night's win, he is up to $411,000.
And that's an unusual amount of money on Jeopardy. People are usually long gone.
Yeah, this is his 12th win, by the way.
Oh.
12 wins, $411,000.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
How's the fame affecting him?
You know, he's a bartender, and he still goes back to that same bar, takes a lot of selfies. He seems to be having fun.
Okay.
I enjoy him. You cannot sully his name. I won't allow
it. I'm not trying to. Look, he's your boyfriend. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I don't know him.
Listen, he's not my boyfriend because I did post something on Twitter and then I reposted it on Instagram where I might in my house have framed pictures of Alex Trebek. Somebody tagged him in that and he wrote, and I quote, "Yeah, this is weird." So I was like, Austin, I thought we were really going to make it. But
so
when
he was coming down on you and being too much of a Jeopardy fan.
Too much of a Jeopardy fan. Then I found out he's a Yankees fan. So it's off. But I can still love him from afar. But let's just get to know him, as does Alex during the games. Here's where he asks, how'd you get to be so smart?
Where did you get to be so smart?
Genetics, luck, karma.
School? No.
School.
Nah.
Okay. Now, Alex treasures intelligence. Mm-hmm. So is that offensive to him that Austin is kind of poo-pooing school?
I did a deep dive and I started rewatching some to see how
Rewatching Jeopardy?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you get all the right answers that way.
But he literally, you can see him softening towards Austin as these intros go. He is now having so much fun with Austin. Oh. They're like, they're bros. They're high-fiving each other. Things are happening, you guys.
And these shows get taped in advance, so it's not like he's reacting, you know, when he comes back the next day. It's not like he knows that Austin's a hot contestant.
Oh, no.
Because like none of this is all taped before the stuff ever airs.
And I'm almost positive they're taping four shows in a row.
Okay.
So that's a lot of Austin in your face.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of, this is my favorite thing about Austin, when he tries to add up his winnings to equal certain amounts.
Did you bet big?
Oh!
Yeah. 34,000 give you 69,000 now.
Nice.
He was looking at you when he did that, Allie.
Nice. Yeah. That's the thing, too, is they'll come to him before they reveal the final Jeopardy answer, and you'll see on his face that, oh, he may not know it. And then Alex goes, oh, did you bet big? And he'll kind of go, eh, like that. And then all of a sudden, the number gets up to 69,000. He's magic.
Yeah, he's working it.
I have serious problems with some of the Jeopardy writers, one who I've reached out to, but he also agreed to me. I believe he got this answer right. The question was, two desserts, they end up with the same three letters. What are those two desserts?
What is sorbet and sherbet?
Sherbet, no R, not sherbert. Sorry, Austin.
I'm from New York. That's how we say it.
Yeah, that's how you say it. Sherbet. Who says sherbet? Come on.
I mean, it is one of the most commonly mispronounced words. That's true. But
and
wait.
I believe it's also in the dictionary as a variation. It can also be sherbert.
So he did not get that.
He
that
did
point?
Not. He said sherbert, and
because
Alex was like, nope.
Oh.
And then the next guy, whoever he is, loser, he got it right. But another thing I love, when he gets the answers wrong.
What is a kangaroo?
No. What is a sheep?
Ah! All right, whatever. Who cares?
Here, Alex asks him a question after one of the other contestants talks about how he was attacked by a wild animal.
Did you have any encounter with a wild animal, such as he did?
Usually drunk kids from John Jay High School.
Okay. They can be pretty wild.
I didn't like John Jay.
Yeah.
Boo. Austin has a smart aleck answer for any question that's thrown at him.
He sure does. What about if he's ever fallen asleep at a rock concert?
He's got a lot of energy. And yet, at a rock concert, you fell asleep?
Yeah, a friend and I, let's call him Danifer, he took me to a, can I say the band's?
Sure.
Corn Disturbed concert, and it's pretty much the most tragically boring music on earth. A guy a couple rows back goes, yo, your friend is all passed out. And he's like, no, he just hates his music. He went to sleep to it.
Oh, my God. That's not going to help you with this crowd, Austin.
I took Dave to go see Kiss one time.
Uh-huh.
And Dave fell asleep. We were in the third row of Kiss and Ted Nugent.
Oh,
and Dave
no.
just missed it all, man. He's just snoring away during a Kiss concert.
That's insane. Well, Austin also gives an answer to a question during Jeopardy, and the answer is the Eagles. And he says it with such disdain that Alex then stops and says, you don't like the Eagles? And he goes, no. And then moves on to the next question. You just see him injecting this personality in between questions. It's amazing.
Zach was deeply offended. He texted in on the 310. He said, the only thing that bugs me about Austin is he's dumped on the Eagles, RIP Glenn Frey, and on Los Angeles in general. He seems to be a little bit of a New Yorker with a, you know, with a little hatred for L.A., it sounds like.
Well, here's where he says that.
Our champion, whose brother is currently deployed.
Where?
Yeah, I am not allowed to say he's somewhere in the Middle East with the 417th engineering company. And I just want to say, hey, Kate, I guess we're both in desert wastelands. L.A. joke up top.
Listen, I'm an LA native, born and raised here. That's awesome. And then he went to high five Alex, and Alex gave him a high five. That is huge.
Whoa.
I know.
They're, Alex doesn't give out high fives to just anyone.
They are becoming bros. But this is video that I took right off my TV because it brought me such enjoyment. This is him talking about naming his bicycles.
What do you want to talk about today, Ken?
I don't know, dude.
What do you want to talk about? I'm easy. How about you commute to work on a bicycle in New York?
I do. It's really, so I'm a bartender, so I'm riding my bike home at like 4:35 in the morning. No one's on the streets. It's great. My current bike, I had naming contests for my bikes. First one was James Vanderbike. He got wrecked. Second one was Bike Tyson. He got stolen. Third one, I had a naming contest. The overwhelming vote was Alex Trebike, but I did not allow it because that's an insult to an august man, so I went Spokey Robinson instead.
Stupid.
I did not name it. It was a naming contest.
Spokey Robinson.
Is that you talking back to your TV while you're watching Jeopardy, Allie?
Oh, I talked to Austin during the game. I yelled at all of them last night for not knowing an NPR question.
Okay.
It's pretty serious in my house.
It does sound like you and Austin are off to a good start there. You guys have a lot in common.
I hope so.
Molly Knight talks the Dodgers coming up just after 8 a.m. She wrote the book about him, you know, so she would know what's going to happen when they advance to the playoffs this coming Saturday. Also, actor Rob Hubel will be here. First, though, Eminem is back, you guys.
It's like we take a step forwards, then backwards. But this is his form of distraction. Plus, he gets an enormous reaction when he attacks the NFL, so we focus on that and instead of talking Puerto Rico with gun reform for Nevada, all these horrible tragedies, and he's bored and would rather cause a Twitter storm with the Packers. A
lot of reactions about Eminem's appearance on the BET Hip Hop Awards the other night, but there's only one I care about. Let's bring on Kevin Abeen's hip hop correspondent.
Chance you cough, your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right, I can't believe you're right. Chance you cough, come on, blow up the spot. The world famous K-Rock, let's talk hip hop.
Hey, Jensen, how are you, man?
Hello, Allie and Bean. This is the scene. You ain't never heard nobody come to scene.
It's great.
I'm just trying my hardest to channel what an angry Hamilton fan would sound like when listening to that Eminem verse. But let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it because right out of the gate, we got to talk about the cipher because that's a word a lot of people hadn't heard or used before. Now, this is the same as or different than just a freestyle rap?
Well, those are completely different things. So a cipher, right, has a definition somewhere based in the dictionary deep in it about being a circle or a zero, right?
Okay.
And I don't mean to sound like Ali watching Jeopardy here, but basically,
how dare you?
At a hip-hop concert, right, at a hip-hop concert when back in the day when I would go see Farside at the House of Blues or Ice-T at the Key Club, some of the names that only mean a couple regional notes, but basically, we would watch the concert, but the reason that I was going is because I would find ciphers in the audience or in the parking lot where people were circled up, sort of in a full round, and rapping, taking turns, and sort of freestyling and stuff like that. Now, a freestyle since about 7-8 years ago, a freestyle window is something that comes off the head. It's probably improv. Nowadays, it just means an orphaned verse. So that's the only time you use it. It's not.
In other words, if you sing something in concert that never appeared on one of your records or mixtapes, that's a freestyle.
Pretty much. It can't have a hook. It has to be just like a verse. It has to be something you're sort of throwing out there like a radio appearance. Oh, yo, you got something you want to spit? And then he raps, and then it's over. There's no hook. It's not to a specific original beat. It's just sort of something you're giving out there.
Okay. Now, this clip of Eminem that has been so widely shared in the last couple of days, he's standing in a parking lot, and it looks like it's completely live to tape off the top of his head. All the guys that are standing around him, they're not doing any rapping. They're just an audience, right?
No, that's crazy awkward, right?
It was weird.
Yeah, that was crazy awkward. Because a cipher technically would have, like the other ciphers for BET Awards that they've been doing for years, and I'm actually a huge fan of them, usually puts about 3 or 4 or 5 rappers together and then they take turns, which is technically a cipher even if they're not in a circle. In this case, it's just it's just a verse. And I think it may have been, even though this isn't really getting out there, I think it may have been promoting a film called Bodied by Joseph Kahn, that he's an executive producer of, that's sort of a battle rap movie coming out that I'm excited to see.
Oh.
This is sort of Eminem's return.
Okay, so he spends 4.5 minutes, and the entire rap is him attacking Donald Trump.
Yes.
First of all, you've been following Eminem since before he had a record deal. Why is he doing it? Why is he coming out and doing this?
It's a good question. I mean, the rumor is that Eminem is writing an album. He's a bit of a recluse. nowadays. You know, last, I guess, decade, his rumor was is that he just, like, works out all day and eats Taco Bell and then sort of just, like, listens to rap music and doesn't leave his place.
Same.
He sort of gets ready. You know, he sort of sets up these things where an album is coming where he'll do an appearance or it's sparse, but this would look like that's what it is. And why he picks Trump now... it's a good question. It's a very difficult conundrum to call Eminem quote-unquote woke, right? So he makes this verse that's obviously the kind of message that I like to hear. There's nothing we can knock on that, in my opinion, politically. Or even if I think, you know, if you're a fan of freedom of speech, it's good to see someone coming out. But also, this is a man who's made most of his career, even up until a couple months ago, really, still releasing homophobic lyrics and still putting out misogynistic stuff, which he pretends to be postmodern and kidding. But in real life, you can't pick and choose where you're actually sort of thinking out your process. And mm-hmm. this seems to be maybe a new Eminem, maybe an older 40. I think he's about 43, 44. Maybe he's starting to grow up. But it's hard for me to say that this is a changed man.
A lot of people were saying, especially these days when you know that you're going to turn off roughly half your audience if you come out with such a strong political statement, they were like, well, you know, some people were giving him credit. Hey, Eminem doesn't care. He's true to his art and true to his feelings. He's willing to lose fans over. Some people just looked at it as, you know, as suicide, commercial suicide by turning off so many white people who love and buy his records who may also support the president.
That's kind of the ironic part, because on Twitter, the best response seemed to be for middle-aged white people. That you know, it's sort of, it spoke to a certain liberal leftist base, which I am part of, so I'm not dissing. It just, it did seem like it was sort of speaking to them and then showing support for the African-American community, which is great. And I guess to me, the freestyle, it's hard. We're so hard up to see voices, especially in hip-hop. There's really only a handful of voices. I wish people gave more attention to YG's song, which we can't say on the radio, but it's F. Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I wish people would have focused on that, or maybe even some of the Kendrick things that have come out. But Eminem has always been sort of the white face of commercial hip-hop, so it's good to see him doing it. But I think the verse is a lot like the movie Donnie Darko. Like, I remember seeing Donnie Darko in the theater and being like, that was cool, and then going home and watching it again and being like, oh, this sucks. So if you look closer at it, it's not technically great. You know, he's sort of more of a spoken word performance than rap. But I think if you pick it apart, there's only a handful of really lyrics that stick with you. Does that make sense?
Yes. Ali, you had I think you liked it more than I did, right, when we came in and talked about it Monday morning, right?
Well, I liked just the words. If I were to read those words and go, okay, yeah, that all of that makes sense. I think a lot of people watching it that aren't aware of what he was doing were like, why doesn't it rhyme? Why isn't there a beat? This isn't rap. It bothers me. And that's not what he was doing at all. But I also have to laugh at, you know, all the people that were like, oh, he's so woke. He's the most woke rapper of our generation. Like, what? What? Yeah, even Keith Olbermann, I don't know if you saw him. He tweeted, I've never liked rap, but this is so. He basically was making it seem like this is the first guy to ever come out with lyrics that mean something. I was like, Keith,
sadly,
you're canceled.
That's Eminem's career. I mean, you know, Eminem, when he came out, was obviously a breath of fresh air for a lot of people. But for people like myself and other big hip-hop fans, we had heard Chino XL. We had heard Pharoah Munch. We had heard Esham in Detroit, even Insane Clown Posse. I mean, we had heard Gravediggers before. We had heard these groups that were sort of shock and awe,
right,
that didn't get the attention he did. And that's similar here. Tech N9ne and a bunch of Talib Kweli, a lot of rappers that have been talking politically strong over the last year don't get that kind of attention. But again, it's the right message for me, so it's hard to knock. It's just rap-wise, it felt like a lot of yelling, a lot of weird theatrics. Also, can we talk about his face?
Yeah, what's going on with that beard, do you think, Jensen?
Here's the thing. As a battle rapper myself, you go out of your way, especially if you're Eminem, who came up in battling as well, you go out of your way to make sure something isn't messed up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't battle if you have a huge forehead in the middle, a huge pimple in the middle of your forehead. You don't battle if you've lost a tooth right in the middle. Like, you get those fixed, and then you go out there. For him to have a beard like that he knows looks like it's drawn on like a Guess Who character, you got to think he's covering something.
I honestly, when I saw him, I was like, oh, my God, he looks like me when I would dress up as like a dude for Halloween and put the little sponge beard on. That's essentially me with the gold chain right now rapping about Trump.
And the nose is a little thin.
Same
and,
with mine. I mean, wait, what?
The face color is a little gray. Everything's a little, he looks like when Mariah Carey dressed up as Eminem. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, 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 yes. Not a good look.
Yeah, he does look like that.
Look, the president is sensitive to criticism, and I'm certain that he is aware of this. But it must really hurt because Donald Trump was adored by hip-hop before he ran for office. Remember, people used to shout him out all the time in the songs as being a representative of wealth. I mean, his name meant I've made it. And now it seems like people like Kendrick Lamar and others who had previously said nice things about him in their songs, now it seems like they're all against him. So he's definitely lost hip-hop, that's for sure.
And there is a history between Donald Trump and Eminem. You know, Eminem did an MTV special years and years ago to release a new album back when you had to do that. And he had this special where it was like a political rally for a new Eminem album. And he had Donald Trump introduce Eminem as the new, sort of the new president who he was backing to run for president that year.
It's funny you should say that, Jensen, because I happen to have that clip.
And Donald Trump is telling you right now, Slim Shady is a winner.
That is a long way from that moment to this moment.
And any fan of mine who's a supporter of his, I'm drawing in the sand a line. You're either for or against. And if you can't decide who you like more in your split on who you should stand beside, I'll do it for you with this.
Jensen, I'm glad we had a chance to catch up with you, but we're going to see you here in studio in a couple of weeks. Your Drop the Mic TV show on TBS debuts on October 24th. And by the way, one of your co-hosts for the show, Method Man, is going to be in here on K-Rock next week as well.
He's my guy. He's a royalty in hip-hop, and he has a lot of opinions. And also, he's getting better with age. He just went on a radio show on Sirius and did a freestyle, an orphaned verse, and it was more impressive than he's maybe even at the best in his career. So I can't wait for you guys to hang out with him.
Do you think I should battle rap him?
I think that if you focus on sort of your love for Jeopardy and maybe do all of your lyrics in question form, I think you got him.
All right, so Method Man next week. Jensen, we'll see you here at K-Rock on the 24th. Thanks so much for jumping on today. We appreciate it.
It's beef season, baby.
Molly Knight literally wrote the book on the Dodgers, The Best Team Money Can Buy. We'll talk to her right after the top of the hour about the upcoming round two of the playoffs. First, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, sir.
Play the rest of that song, will you? I like that.
That's all I got, man.
That's all you got? Darn it. I like that. Ding, 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 ding.
You like that?
Do you hear me?
Do you care? A little bit, a little bit.
Can you play that? Can you play that music? No? Can't do that? Find that intro music into me. Never mind.
What's happening?
I'm causing a lot of problems.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Do you hear me?
That's got a Missing Persons vibe.
Do you care? Right? A little Missing Persons thing. Okay. All right. Thanks, Chip.
Do we feel like all that was worth it in retrospect or no?
Look, anything goes today, apparently. We can talk about anything we want.
I can get back to the Monster Mash if you want.
Mash. Jeopardy, bartender, just anything you want. It's free. It's a free-for-all day.
How dare you?
It's free phones Friday.
I think people really enjoyed hearing about Austin and the Monster Mash.
Listen, I got breaking news.
Oh.
NYPD has announced that they are investigating Harvey Weinstein. And that's good.
Yes, it is.
That's good. New York Police Department has announced a criminal investigation looking into the reports regarding Harvey Weinstein and sexual assault and rape. So that's good news. As we mentioned earlier in the week, New York State does not have a statute of limitations when it comes to rape. So the detectives of the NYPD are currently investigating. Here's the statement. NYPD Blue is conducting a review to determine if there are any additional complaints relating to the Harvey Weinstein matter. No filed complaints have been identified as of this time, but the NYPD encourages anyone who may have information pertaining to this matter to call the Crime Stoppers hotline at 1-800-577-TIPS. That's 1-800-577-TIPS.
And maybe while they're at it, someone can look into Cy Vance, the DA, taking a donation from Harvey Weinstein. Strangely weird timing after they dismissed the case where NYPD actually had a woman that was wearing a microphone. They set up a sting operation. They were good to go. And then he said, oh, insufficient. And then he took a donation. It's weird. It's just weird timing. Who's with me?
Conspiracy Alley.
Not really.
Take a stroll down Conspiracy Alley.
Don't you find that weird?
I do.
It is.
I do.
It is odd. Yeah. It is, the optics are not good on that.
No, they are not.
For sure. This is beyond awesome. and I'm so glad it's actually going to happen. Mary Sirocco is her name, and she has put together the Tom Petty Memorial Vampire Walk. That's officially a go. It's going to happen next Thursday, October 19th, and it's going to kick off on the steps of the Sherman Oaks Galleria on the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura Boulevards. And they're expecting about 1,000-plus people to gather there for the Tom Petty Memorial Vampire Walk. And what they're going to do is they're going to walk west on Ventura Boulevard while singing Free Falling. Because in the song Free Falling, there is the lyric, "All the vampires walk west on Ventura Boulevard." And so they're all going to be there.
Huh. All right.
And it looked like there was going to be some problems with it because of the number of people who were showing interest, but they got a special events permit, and it's all going to happen, and they're going to pay tribute to Tom Petty as they go west down Ventura Boulevard.
That video that came out last weekend, was it at the Florida State game where the whole 90,000 people started singing "I Won't Back Down" as a tribute to Tom Petty? Oh, my gosh. It was great. Of course, he was, you know, a Floridian, but it's nice to see people respond that well and remember somebody we lost.
Remind folks, Friday night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at Hollywood Improv on Melrose for Hollywood Babylon, our show where we talk about all the stuff and entertainment, and we do lots of other shenanigans as well. Come on out and join us. It is 10 p.m. Friday night, and go to improv.com to get your tickets. Today's
nine.
Come on, Rodney, you know you'll be there.
Ralph, I had a quick Kevin Smith question I wanted to ask you. When I saw the reports about somebody getting $200,000 worth of comic books stolen at a home in New Jersey, the first thing I feared is that maybe that was Kevin Smith's house. Does he still have a place back in New Jersey?
No, he lives in Los Angeles now.
Okay. Well, I thought he might have a house back there. But.
No, we're not all like you, being with our houses all over the place. We have multi-mansions in multi-cities. Some of us can only afford one home.
You never know when you have to be on the move in a hurry, Ralph. You need some place to go.
One house.
Some in squalor.
Right?
Right.
Allie's got a car.
Yep.
Chip lives in a base case.
Yeah. Oh, cereal box, man.
She just closes it on herself at night. Bean's got mansions in New Orleans, London, Oklahoma, Seattle.
I've got passports with five names on it, man. I got to be ready to move at a moment's notice. You know that.
He's got hoes in different area zones. What?
I
got close. Today's celebrity birthdays: Hugh Jackman's 49 years old, Kirk Cameron's 47, and Josh Hutcherson celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Rob Hubel in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and more tickets for you to join us for Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl this weekend. That's all coming up on K-Rock. But first,
it's time for Dodger baseball.
Playoffs are going about as well as they could, except for the fact that we don't have Vin Scully calling the game. I will say I'm missing that this postseason, but there's another round ahead Saturday. Is it going to be versus the Cubs or the Nationals? I don't know, but I bet Molly Knight does. She is the author of The Best Team Money Can Buy. She actually literally wrote the book about the Dodgers and covered baseball for 8 years for ESPN, the magazine. Molly, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm great.
This is a quick turnaround. You were out late partying with the National.
I was. I sure was. I've been to the Hollywood Bowl three times in the last 6 days, so maybe I'll go back for the Depeche Mode.
Nice.
I am going to tell you that album by The National is probably in my top two or three albums of 2017. I can't stop listening to it.
Interesting. Do you like it better than the SZA album or Lord?
I like it better than – I haven't heard the SZA album. I like it better than the Lord
goodness.
Album. Am I a bad person? I know we're getting off topic here.
No, it's a great one. I mean, they're phenomenal. They're super. They're great live too. So it was a great show.
I love.
I love
so much.
The Scissor album.
Yeah,
SZA.
Oh.
Hey, let's talk Dodgers. Last time we had John was when the Dodgers acquired Yu Darvish, and I was very nervous. I was very nervous about him, and I think I told you at the time because he has not exactly been a consistent pitcher. But
you weren't sleeping. You were waking up in the night over it.
It was bad, but I'm telling
really
you,
bad.
Watching that closeout game in Arizona the other night and seeing that five innings of great pitching until he hit that dude, I thought, you know what? Molly was right. Yu Darvish was the missing piece. So you feeling pretty good about pitching?
He was so good. I went to Arizona to watch them close it out, and he was so good. I think it was obviously a great position to be in, being up 2-0, where, mm-hmm. like, if you have a bad game, you know, you're not pitching for your life at that point. You're just
right.
sort of like, yeah, we'd like to close it out, but if we don't, we've got two more chances. He was phenomenal. He was exactly what the Dodgers were looking for when they traded for him. And because he closed it out, Kershaw didn't have to come back on short rest and pitch game four for the first time in 500 years. So so it was exactly what they needed on a lot of levels. It was great.
Yeah, having that extra pitcher to count on is great. But here's the thing that everybody is saying in the national media, of course, is, you know, they're falling in love with the Dodgers like we have all season long because they have so many weapons. They can beat you in so many ways. I mean, I don't think there's a hole in the lineup, up or down the whole thing right now. Do you, Molly?
Well, if they play Austin Barnes at catcher, then no. He's amazing. I was actually out in the outfield bleachers at the Diamondbacks game, kind of getting the vibe with the real fans. And Dodger home runs kept landing all around me. It was like raining home runs. It was great. Bellinger's dinger landed in the dude 5 feet away, and Barnes. Of course, I thought I was going to be a brave person, but I dove out of the way because I didn't have my glove.
I don't blame anyone for not trying to catch a ball that's coming at you at an alarming rate of speed, by the way.
This kid Barnes, like, basically hit a line drive rope into the bleachers. He's really good. I think Grandal, the catcher, the normal catcher, he's also a very good player, but by the end of the year, his body wears down. You can understand it being a catcher.
Sure,
But Barnes is there to the rescue, and in the playoffs, every out matters, and, you know, you can't have outs in the lineup, and Barnes is a great, great hitter, so hopefully he'll start from now on.
I will say that every time you look, there's no guarantees. There's a reason all of these teams that are in the playoffs are in the playoffs. And I feel great about I felt great about the Cleveland Indians. I would have put so much money down on the Indians going into the series with the Yankees. And look, it's so easy to go home. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we can't take anything for granted. Now, if you had your druthers, who would you rather play in the next round, Washington or Chicago?
Well, I'm no longer in the who will be easier to beat business after the election last year. So, I was telling Dodger fans and everyone else was just to root for five long games, and that's what's happening. They had to fly from Chicago because of the rain out. They had to fly from Chicago to Washington overnight last night, and then they've got to play there today, and then the winner has to fly, you know, basically across country to Los Angeles. I mean, that's a great situation for the Dodgers to be in. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have been hanging out in LA, like playing video games and occasionally batting practice. So, yeah.
So whoever the opponent's going to be, they're going to be worn out, obviously, because they don't have the benefit of all this rest.
I mean, look. I would say, and this is a rude thing to say, but I would say that that I think the Nationals have more talent, but I also think their manager makes mistakes, and so I think it's probably pretty even who I would rather face if I had to pick.
Is there any part of you, Molly, who would feel a sense of redemption to eliminate the Cubs after what happened last year at this point in the season?
Sure. I think that's right. I think it's always kind of like good, or I don't know what the word is, but it's always kind of fulfilling to come back and vanquish the foe that crushed you last time, you know. Sort of like seeing an ex and looking running into your ex while you're looking your best, you know. They feel awful and they want to go into a hole and hide. But yeah, I think honestly, it's hard for me to root again. I mean, I like both of those teams, so it's kind of hard. The Nationals have never won a playoff series ever, so I'm sort of feeling for their fans.
That is really amazing when you've got Scherzer and you've got Strasburg and you've got all those other great players. Wow, I did not realize that until you said it out loud. But Washington has a long history in all of their major sports of not winning anything for decades, right?
Right. No, I mean, it's not good. It's not what you want. But you know, they've got some legislative accomplishments this year. So
okay, all right, we got that. yeah. All right, last question. last question. You talked about how worn out their opponent is going to be. Is there anything to people who worry that you can have too much time off? You got all this momentum beating Arizona three in a row, and now you're sitting around for 5 days. Do you lose a little mojo if you get that too much time off?
No, because momentum is only as good as your starting pitcher that day. And for the Dodgers to have pitchers with histories of injuries and blisters and back problems and just general weirdness, the more time off, the better. I think you run the risk of your hitters getting a little bit rusty, but they've got them at Dodger Stadium taking simulated games and doing all of that. So,
okay.
I mean, the next series will be entirely different. The Dodgers were raking. They scored a bajillion runs in the last series. These two teams both have excellent pitching staff, so I believe runs will be more difficult to come by. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's very exciting.
They got a good shot. This might be the year. It's really
this might be the year. Those are happy words. The one thing we have learned from the New York Giants is whatever you do, if you've got a long time off between playoff series, is don't take any kind of boat trips. Just don't go out and curse your team with a boat trip, right?
Yeah, and the Cowboys taught us not to go to Cabo either. So that's
right.
Good.
All right. The book, by the way, all Dodger fans should read. It's excellent, called The Best Team Money Can Buy. Molly, are you covering baseball anywhere else, like professionally right now?
No. Well, actually, I might have a fun little Dodger preview up on a little website called UpRocks this week, which is run by some of my friends. But no, I don't cover baseball on a day-to-day basis anymore. I write profiles sometimes for ESPN magazine. I just did a profile on Sam Darnold, the USC quarterback.
Oh.
Some of your readers might have seen.
Love it.
Who's a very nice kid, and maybe they'll go far.
we'll check it out, and you can follow Molly on Twitter at Molly_Knight. Hey, thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
LA and OC's alternative rock, 106.7 KRQ. It's very weird. We don't have this happen very often, that a guest insists on entry music, and it's Evanescence, Spring Me to Life. But Rob Hubel said we got to play it if we're having him on, so we did.
I really appreciate it.
Hey, Rob, how you been, buddy?
I'm great. I also appreciate the smoke machine. Mm-hmm. And also, this is not a visual medium, so there's no point in having a smoke machine, but I appreciate it.
A lot of effort for you.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, we said fan or no, and you said no.
No fan, just a ton of smoke.
Love it.
And Evanescence, please.
Yeah. We like to make our guests feel comfortable.
Thank you.
How have you been?
I'm really great. Thank you. I'm getting geared up for Halloween and getting all psyched about all that stuff.
Do you dress up?
I try to dress up. I don't know what I'm going to do. We have a new baby. She's a 1-year-old baby. And so now I don't think I can go too scary. Like, you know, it changes Halloween a little bit.
Right.
You don't want to be like, you know, Jace, you know, when you have like a tiny little baby.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, cause you're able to be like, meh, 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 you know,
stupid babies indeed. Will you use your child as a prop and dress him or her up for Halloween, even though he or she has no idea what the F is going on?
Absolutely. I am not ashamed. It's a she, but I probably will dress her up in a little hockey mask and little overalls, make her a little Jason.
I love it.
And she will wear that for about 1 second.
Uh-huh. Just long enough for the Instagram photo, right?
Yeah. I actually saw one time I went to one of those conventions, like a Comic-Con type thing, and they had all those horror people there, and they had the guy from... the guy's name is Kane Hodder, who played Jason as a stuntman. And he was doing a signing, and they had I saw this little kid, tiny little kid dressed up in overalls and a hockey mask go up to him. I mean, this kid was like 3 or 4, and he wandered up to him to get his autograph, and the guy goes, $20. And I was like, oh, that is so cold.
Or awesome.
It's pretty awesome, but pretty cold.
Rob, I've been married for a long time, and the biggest chasm in our relationship is that my wife insists on dressing up our dogs for Halloween.
Oh.
And I hate it. And she's like, but look how cute they are. And I'm like, you know what would make them cuter? If they weren't wearing a goddamn costume.
Yeah. Well, what do they wear?
It's different. It's different every time. I think we have a boy and a girl, and I think they're going as Beauty and the Beast this year. I mean, I swear to God, she has little pet costumes and she's dressing them up as Beauty and the Beast. And I'm like, they hate it.
They hate it.
Why would you do that to a pet?
All the other dogs on your block hate them.
Oh,
they do. All of the neighbors' dogs are like,
Look at these idiots. Beauty and the Beast.
And I can't win that one. There's no logic or rationale that I can say or that I've come up with to convince her that it's a terrible idea, because she just loves it so much and she's convinced that they're into the spirit of the season. And no offense to your little girl, but I mean, your little girl knows as much about Halloween as my dogs do.
Yeah,
at one,
for sure.
You know what I mean? So
for sure.
I don't get it.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, is it divorce time? I mean, I need a professional opinion here.
Yeah, I think
it's time to walk away.
Yeah. You should definitely divorce your wife over this. It sounds like you've given this a ton of thought.
I have.
And it doesn't sound like a rash decision at all. Mm-mm. Yeah.
I mean, every year we just go through the whole thing again. So
any rational divorce judge would be like, uh-huh, yep, no problem. I'll sign the papers.
Let me do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of funny looks, you tweeted a photo the other day because there's this Puerto Rico campaign that's going on. Is it Nick Kroll who started it?
Stephen Colbert and Nick Kroll started a thing called, I think it's hashtag PuberMe. Mm-hmm.
I loved your photo so much. Tell the folks what you've posted.
Well, the idea was Kroll went on Stephen Colbert's show and they had the idea to get people to tweet out really humiliating pictures of yourself in puberty.
Like your most embarrassing high school photo.
Yeah,
Put it up.
It's all brutal. So if you search this hashtag PuberMe, and you can figure out how to spell that, you can see some amazing photos. So mine is a picture of me when I was like 13, full on like braces, acne, bowl cut, in the cockpit of an airplane. With this pilot, with his arm around me. It just looks kind of
uncomfortable.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. You ever seen a grown man naked?
Yeah.
The airplane ruined it for us, right?
Yeah, everybody online was like, Jimmy, have you ever been to a Turkish prison? Like, all of those lines from Airplane.
Now, you saw the photo, but do you actually have a memory of that day? And was it the thrill of your life to sit up there in the cockpit in a plane?
You know what? I do, and I have to actually be honest. The pilot, although he looks super creepy and like he might be in love with me, it's my dad.
My dad. That makes it even worse.
Yeah, it makes it pretty bad. My dad was an airline pilot for a million years.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I love making fun of airline pilots because they're so cheesy, and they always, like, they think they're, like, fighter pilots, and they're not. They're just, like, bus drivers, you know?
In the sky.
And so the picture is, like, me with this guy who looks totally creepy, and he does look, like, strangely affectionate towards me, and that is because
that's
it's my dad.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, but that's still a thrill for a kid.
It was a thrill.
Behind the wheel.
I loved it, man. I mean, I would go to the airport and, like, you know, hang on my dad's jock, like walk around and be like, yeah, dude.
All right, now the picture looks weird again.
Yeah, now it looks weird. We're not wearing any pants in that picture.
Oh, dear.
Did your dad ever let you take the controls at any time?
All the time.
Flight?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Yeah,
flights.
Back in the day, this is way back, you know, where there weren't the same rules and regulations. And yeah, I mean, my dad would just be like, you know, you seem like you know what you're doing. You got a good head on your shoulders. Just keep it straight, you know.
And I would just don't crash.
Keep
it going.
My dad would chat.
Rob Hubel is here, comedian, author, actor from Transparent, and a new series we can't wait to tell you about. And you'll appreciate this title if you know anything about Rob. Do you want to see a dead body? That's what it's called, and we'll find out what it's all about next. Rob Hubel is best described as that guy from that show. Rob, I know you run into this all the time where people know you from the League, or they know you from Children's Hospital, or they know you for any number of movies, but it must be very confusing for people when they see you on the street, right?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm going to the airport right after this, and I do get it a lot in the airport. People will stop me and say, like, what do I know you from? And then you kind of have to do that game where I am guessing what shows they watch.
Right.
Which, you know, it's really...
And then when it gets to three or four and they're saying no.
Yeah. Well, you know, one time I was like, I'm such a jerk that I was doing that and I was going through all these shows, and then the person was like, oh, you know what? We actually went to high school together. What's up, dog? And I was like, oh, hey, Steve.
Oh,
yeah, hey. It's cool. I didn't recognize you with a beard. But
Rob is a cast member on, of course, the award-winning Transparent on Amazon Prime, but he's got a new series that he's here today to let us know about that is going to be premiering next month. It's called Do You Want to See a Dead Body?
And who doesn't?
And who doesn't? What I saw was on YouTube Red. I had to stop for a second. That's not the one we have to go to with our private browser, right?
That's right. That's RedTube.
RedTube.
Okay.
Which,
all right.
It seems confusing.
It is confusing.
I'm not sure why they named it that. YouTube Red is similar sounding to RedTube.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. But don't go there. That'll be a different type of entertainment.
And you don't want to see their dead body video.
No, you don't.
You know what I'm saying?
You really don't.
But so this show, this is a comedy show where it's me, taking famous people on a quest
to go find a dead body that I found. And I don't know why there would be any questions about this. This is a very normal thing. Everyone does this.
Well, yeah. First of all, they're all – it's a different dead body in every episode.
Every episode is a different celebrity.
Why you know so many dead body locations.
Well, yeah, and the show is – it's not a reality show. It's scripted, so it's like – and I wrote it, so or I wrote it with a bunch of friends of mine, but we never – no one ever asked that. No one ever says, like, wait a second.
How do you know
where all of these bodies are?
I feel like that should be the first question.
Of course. It's sort of – annoying that never comes up. But,
Rob, why is it – and I know we live in a new world of distribution and there are a million places to put shows. But, I mean, I would feel like Adult Swim would pay you $10 million for this show.
Well,
it's 15 minutes of nonstop laughs. They would love this show.
You also have to realize that YouTube has all the money in the world now.
Okay.
And so so this was the same type of situation where you can go and they're doing, you know, original shows. They're doing like sitcoms and crazy. These are mostly about like 15 minutes, these episodes. But it's like the same cool kind of structure where they didn't give us any notes, you know, so we could swear and we can show whatever we want and do whatever we want because it's you know, it's the Wild West right now in the TV world. And when you have like, you know, Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and then like these new platforms like YouTube Red, you know, the way that they can get people to come and make cool shows is like not tell them what to do. They're like, yep, come over. You can do whatever you want.
It's finally Hollywood has finally become artist friendly.
It's actually a great, like, if you're in this town right now and you're making TV shows, it's a pretty fun time because you can do some cool stuff.
And you also had the benefit of, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of shows that you've done with some of the funniest people in the world, of being able to call up an Adam Scott or a, you know, a Rob Corddry, you know, like your good friends, and go, be on this. And they all said yes.
Yeah, it was super fun to just wrangle like Terry Crews and Adam Scott and Rob Corddry, Paul Scheer, John Cho and Randall Park and Judy Greer and Alexandra Daddario. And I mean, just like all of our funny friends, Michaela Watkins, Adam Pally. I'm just going down a list of names, but basically, like, if you're in the comedy world and you run in our circle, then I will take you to go see a dead body. If what? You don't, you have to be cool. You have to be a cool person. Don't
for
be
sure.
weird. Don't get me in trouble. You know,
I got a link yesterday to some advanced episodes. And I couldn't stop watching. I watched three in a row. And they're so funny. Which one's your favorite? Do you have one?
There's a few where we don't actually find the body. Like I take them to go find the body, and it really becomes more about me sort of tricking people just to hang out with me. But there's one that I love with John Cho where we're going to see a dead body, and then he falls into some quicksand in the woods. So he's sinking lower and lower in quicksand. And the whole episode is like me saying, like, okay, I'm going to handle this. I'm just going to run to town, and I'm going to go buy some rope. And it all just kind of unravels.
But you
from
just
the,
keep talking leaving.
And then I come back. I go to town, but then I like my ATM card doesn't work, so I run all the way back to tell him about that. And then he's lower in the thing.
Stupid.
And then I go to the rope store, and the rope store is out of rope. So I run all the way back to tell him about that. So it's super dumb. Like, you know, it's super silly. But John is such a funny dude. He was in quicksand for like 12 hours that day.
I love that episode so much. And his attitude is very good considering he's that close to death.
He's super positive. In the show,
super
he's super
positive.
In real life, when we were shooting, I don't think he was that happy. He was, because we shot it way out in the woods, and he was like, guys, hold on. Is that a scorpion? I think there's a scorpion. There's a scorpion here. Like, it's like,
oh God.
We shot on a scorpion ranch.
But you really did take, which one is he? He's Sulu, right? He's Lieutenant Sulu.
Yeah, he's Sulu.
Right?
Okay. Yeah,
you really did. You buried John Cho.
We almost killed him.
Neck in actual quicksand.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. At the very end, well, you saw it, Bean. At the very end, I do pull him out of the quicksand. And the dude was like so happy to get out of the quicksand. Like,
that wasn't acting.
No, it was not acting. He was like, okay, I'm going home. And I'm very upset, and I will not do this television show again.
It is so funny. Now, is YouTube Red a subscription service, Rob?
It is.
Okay.
I think they're. I think it's like $10 a month. And
what else do they have that's going to make it worth my while? If you know?
They have a bunch of other shows that I don't know the names of because good. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't work for the company. I'm just friends with the company. But mm-hmm. good question. I think you get a ton of like every song in the world. I think you get a lot of music. Not to compete with this situation where we are right now. K-Rock is mm-hmm. obviously the best. And and then the big thing is no commercials. So, you know, it's like Hulu or Netflix where there's just no commercials.
Yeah.
And so you can just watch.
Well, this is Funny or Die is one of the producers on this. And
yeah.
you know how they do and you know how Rob does. And I'm telling you guys, I love this show. I can't wait to see
We aren't even
going
to get to talk about the Pfeffermans.
You want to talk about the Pfeffermans? We can talk about it.
We can take 90 seconds on Transparent, Allie. Go.
Go ahead, Allie. Any questions?
He has a threesome this
year.
That's
right. I shot a threesome mm-hmm. this year. That's right.
That was my question, though.
That's not a question. That's a statement.
That
a threesome
is
sex between more than one person. Well, specifically three people.
Right.
So, and the way it works is it can be a woman and two men, mm-hmm. or it can be two
That's
men.
That's the devil's threesome
woman.
Right there.
That's
a woman
okay.
and two men.
That's right.
All right.
Or it can be three men, or it could be three women, mm-hmm. or it could be like a.
But I don't think that was Allie's question. Let's let her get to her question.
Oh, okay, what's your question? What was it like to shoot a threesome?
My question wasn't even about a threesome.
Okay.
That was just, it was just,
you just
say,
wanted to
declare
you
want to
get me in trouble with my wife.
No, obviously you're happily married, you have a new baby.
My baby does not know that I shot a threesome.
Really? Haven't told her?
I'm not going to
tell her yet.
It's impossible to explain that to a baby.
It is.
It's very hard.
Baby.
Rob, you're going to have a long list of uncomfortable conversations when your kid gets old enough of the things that you've done on camera before
she
was born.
Try watching the show with your wife when you're, it's I forgot because we filmed this right after we had the baby. So I was like sleepwalking through the whole season.
Yeah.
And then when it came out on Amazon, I was watching it with my wife, and I was like, oh, no, I forgot about all this threesome stuff. And my wife was like, huh, okay, not very cool. I was breastfeeding while you were out having sex with these women.
It's hard to convince her that you work hard for a living just to put food on the table to support your family when you're going off jumping into bed with two chicks.
I know.
Paid
I was
for
like,
it.
These threesomes paid for these diapers.
Right?
Don't you understand?
Transparent Season 4 available on Amazon Prime right now. November 15th is when the Do You Want to See a Dead Body premieres on YouTube Red. And trust me on this, you guys, you're going to love the show. It's super, super funny. Rob, we love you, and we're glad you came back.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Do
I really
it
appreciate
soon.
It.
Bye-bye. Ralph announced earlier this morning, Green Day has a greatest hits album coming out with two new songs. So that's good news. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 8:56. If you want to go to Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl, we are looking for you. What are we doing this time around? We're doing Listener Roki, right?
Yeah.
Oof.
You sing your favorite Depeche Mode song. Bring it. All right? 1-800-520-1067. Be prepared to sing your favorite Depeche Mode song. Someone wins tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat.
But you will have to sing it Acapulco, okay? So keep that in mind. You're not going to have any music behind you. So
term is
strictly Acapulco.
Acapella.
All right. This Harvey Weinstein case, it changes minute by minute. We get more and more information. So, forgive me if it seems like I'm harping on this, but there's always something new to report. Last hour, we talked about the fact that the New York Police Department has launched a criminal investigation into his activities. You have to keep in mind, in the Empire State, there is no statute of limitations on rape, and he has been accused of that by several of his victims. And the list of victims continues to expand. Leah Sado, the French actress, said that he tried advances on her. She rejected him outright. I think that sometimes the European women have a stronger handle on this kind of thing. And she apparently just put him in his place immediately when he tried his shenanigans. Cara Delevingne, the actress and model, he approached her inappropriately as well. And now Kate Beckinsale has released a statement saying when she was 17 years old, Harvey Weinstein asked her to meet him at the Savoy Hotel. His assistant, she said, I assumed it would be in a conference room. His assistant took her to Harvey's room, and he answered the door in his bathrobe. She said, I was incredibly naive and young. It did not cross my mind that this older, unattractive man would expect me to have any sexual interest in him. I declined his offer of alcohol, and I announced that I had school in the morning, and I left, uneasy but unscathed.
here is the most devastating part, is when they met years later, he asked me if he had tried anything with me in that first meeting. I realized he couldn't remember if he had assaulted me or not.
Holy crap.
So, you know, that's the decades worth of assault we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the
where
sheer
he,
numbers.
He couldn't even remember who he had tried to fondle, attack, assault, rape, and who he hadn't. So it just...
it's awful.
Stomach-turning stuff.
That Cara Delevingne post that she did yesterday, where she laid out, I mean, he would not take no for an answer. Every time she tried to resist or get away or stop him or whatever, he took no hints.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not about hints. I mean, he knows that he's not that there's not an interest.
That's not welcome, right?
Yeah, he knows that they don't want sex with him. He just doesn't care. Right. And, you know, TMZ had the clip of him getting his car, and he said, you know, second chances, we all make mistakes. That's not a mistake Mm-mm. when you're attacking someone. Mm-mm. That's not, oops, I slipped and had consensual sex with someone outside of my marriage or something. This is assault.
This is predatory behavior that's gone on for decades.
Yeah. Decades,
just
right.
It's repugnant on every level. Ali, you were saying that we were talking earlier about
Rose McGowan's
Twitter account had been suspended for 12 hours because she was calling out some people involved in her assault case with Harvey Weinstein. Has Twitter released a statement about why they suspended
her? Now say that they have temporarily suspended her because one of her tweets included a private phone number. That is according to Twitter, which makes sense. You do suspend someone's account for that, but I mean, for 11 hours, people were like, hello, what happened to free speech? What's happening?
Yeah.
Maybe put that out a little quicker.
Get on top of your story there. All right. Well, now we know if that's the case, that's why it happened. All right. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. Hugh Jackman, 49 years old today. Kirk Cameron turns 47. And Josh Hutcherson celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about some more tickets for Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl? They are sold out tonight, sold out Saturday, sold out on the 16th. A few tickets still available for the 18th. Get your details at Carrick.com or win them right now with a game that we like to call Listener-okey.
Listener-okey, Listener-okey. That's the game we're going to play. Listener-okey, Listener-okey.
All right, Allie, let's try to be nice because it takes a lot of nerve to call up a radio station and sing on the air, okay? This isn't easy for these folks.
Are you telling me because this is you projecting?
Perhaps it is a little bit.
It is.
So you sing your favorite Depeche Mode song. Then if you blow us away, you win. If there's some question as to who deserves the tickets, we'll do a drawing and somebody will win tickets to see Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl. We'll just take them in order, Chip, and we'll start with Ebert in Northridge up first, line one. Ebert, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good, good, good.
What are you going to be singing for us?
It's no good.
Well, let's not jump to conclusions until we've heard it. What's the song
That's
you're going to sing? Oh, I'm sorry. All right, let's hear it, Ebert.
Okay, ready? Here we go. Don't say you want me. Don't say you need me. Don't say you love me. It's understood. Don't
all right,
say you have me.
Thank you, Ebert. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jenna Irvine, line two. There wasn't much singing going on with Ebert, I felt.
Really? Because I felt like he was singing that song.
Did you? Didn't seem like it. All right. Let's see what Jenna's got going on in Irvine. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Jenna.
What number are you going to be doing for us?
Personal Jesus.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reach out and touch base. Your own personal Jesus. Someone who hears your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good job, Jenna.
That's what I meant. Good job. Jason, Long Beach. Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm singing Somebody.
Oh, Jason.
Oh. It's Allie's favorite song of all time, so you really got to tread lightly here, my friend.
I used to dress up in my first communion dress and my veil, and I would sing it into the mirror like I was singing at Martin Gore.
Okay, I'll vision that while I sing it.
Okay, please do.
All right. Good luck. We're ready. All right.
I want somebody to share the rest of my life, share my innermost thoughts, know my intimate details, someone who'll stand by my side and give me support, and in return, she'll give my support. forth.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right. It's not a duet, Allie. Not a duet. Thank you, Jason. Did you get all the feels for that, Allie? You enjoy that?
Jason hit those notes, you guys. Okay. That was not bad.
Let's try Raquel Long Beach up next, line 4. Hey, Raquel.
Hello.
Starting to get a little competition now. So what are you going to be bringing for us?
How about Question of Lust?
Love it.
Okay. It's for Allie, by the way. No, I'm kidding.
I love it even more.
I'm listening.
Apologies for all you seem to get from me. But just like a child, you make me smile when you care for me. And you know, it's a question of lust. It's a question of trust. It's a question of not letting what we feel crumble to dust. It is all of these things.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Raquel. Thank you, Raquel. All right. Put you on hold. Kind of put her own spin on it a little bit, right?
She was going through a bunch of different feelings, working it out.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I like that.
Giving away tickets for Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl with Listener Roki here on K-Rock. Grace is up next, West Covina, line 5. All right, Grace, Hi. What are you bringing for us today?
Okay, I'm going to be singing Strange Love.
Okay, are you going to feel it?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it.
All right, good luck.
Okay, there'll be times when my crimes will seem almost unforgivable. I give in to sin because you have to make this life livable. But when you think I've had enough from the sea of love, I'll take more than another river full.
She's making it all worthwhile. Thank you, Grace. Thank you very
much. She makes my heart smile.
Okay. Please hold. Thank you. I think we just have time for one more, and this time it's going to be Jude Venice, line 6. Hey, Jude.
I
was not on purpose. I was just saying hello to our caller. All right. So we've already heard from Ebert and Jenna and Jason and Raquel and Grace. You're our final contestant. You're going to sing some Depeche Mode. What song?
Okay. Stripped.
Stripped.
Again for Allie.
Okay. I'm listening.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see you stripped down to the bone. Let me hear you make decisions without your television. It's all fake news anyway.
Thank you for the ad lib. Appreciate that. All right, let's put Jude on hold. Allie, drawing or do you have a runaway winner?
I had a runaway winner, but we can do a drawing. It's up to you.
Let's hear
you. Did you have a runaway winner?
I am leaning toward a contestant.
Is she on line 4?
I don't want to discount the other callers.
Is she on line 4?
Let's say hello to Raquel in Long Beach, who is going to see Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Allie, do you want to go with me? I heard about you yesterday.
You are so sweet. I actually got tickets for Saturday night, but I'm so excited that you're going to go.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for playing Listener Roki.
Listener Roki, Listener Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listener Roki, Listener Roki. You suck them more lame.
Who said for one more show, Bisbee? What do you guys say? One more. One more.
Let's do it.
Here's Ralph Garman, 939 on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's new?
If you've made it this far in the show, first of all, good on you, mate.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate it.
They say in Spain. But
I feel like only the quadriplegics that can't turn the radio are the ones still listening.
Great example.
Wow.
Whoa. I mean,
because everybody else at one point would have just reached over and just flipped that knob back to big boy.
Oh, man. I can flip Bean's knob off.
No one knows.
I don't want to hear about your personal life, Jim.
I don't know what's happened to you.
I can turn this pot off and we can just go home. I can just go home.
I need that tape.
This show
bad
just
to
went
worse.
All right, let's start again. Who's ready for one more showbiz beat, everybody? Yay! Here's Ralph Garber. What's going on?
I need that piece of tape. if you've made it this far, as I began saying, you deserve a treat. How about tickets?
Why?
How about tickets to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Snowman?
Why the snowman couldn't melt in the sun?
I don't know why.
Because he had a harder.
This movie's going to be so much better than that joke, I promise you. Yes. Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Ferguson, James Darcy, Charlotte Gainsborough. What a cast. You can see them all in The Snowman, based, of course, on the smash hit novel of all about Detective Harry Hole. Investigating the disappearance of women, and heads are being swapped, and snowmen and crazy killers leaving clues. Ah, it's so good. If you want to go, I've got five pairs of tickets right now to 1-800. Let me try that again. If you'd like to go, I've got five pairs of tickets right now to give away. If you call the number 1-800-520-1067, first five callers through at that phone number get tickets to go see The Snowman.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too. Speaking of tickets, tickets for Hollywood Babylon are on sale for this weekend as well. Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I returning to Los Angeles with Hollywood Babylon. It's been weeks since we've played here locally, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody. Come on out. Go to improv.com if you want to get your tickets for that.
No. Stop talking.
I'm already tired of the Szechuan sauce phenomenon. This Ricky and Morty Szechuan sauce thing.
People are overreacting to it.
Stop it.
It's existence.
This is the problem. This is why we can't have nice things. Because people make it dumb. It has become a new currency, says this story here, where people are trading packets of the McDonald's Szechuan sauce for things with much higher value. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with this story, the Szechuan sauce came about in the late 90s when McDonald's and Disney worked together to promote the movie Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
And they released this sauce as part of the dipping sauce with their chicken nuggets to celebrate that film. And then it was very short-lived and it went away. Well, the Rick and Morty show has been talking about it since its season 3 premiere. And it's all about his need for this Szechuan sauce. And so everyone's bought into the hype, and now if you have a packet of this sauce, if you're looking for it on eBay, the cheapest you can get is probably $100. You can get a packet of sauce for about $100, and it goes more than that. If you can find the half gallon in the custom Pelican case,
oh dear,
that's $21,000 in auction going for it right now.
Well, hold on a second, you misspoke, Ralph. You said $21,000.
Yes. That's currently the number that auction's at.
I mean, how could you have that unless you got it from a McDonald's? Like,
right.
You work there.
Exactly.
And why would you... You couldn't use that much Szechuan sauce if you lived to be 100?
I don't think they're using the sauce, Bean.
I think it's delicious, Bean. They're not dipping their McNuggets in it. What's wrong
with
you?
You thought they were eating it?
What are they doing with it?
You think someone's opening up a sauce packet from 1998 to dip chips into it?
Well, why would you need 100 gallons of it or whatever?
It's a collectible.
Yeah, but why would you need that much of it?
Because it's a specialized collectible. It's the rarest of the rare.
I don't like it.
What? How do you not understand how this works?
I don't understand how most things work, Ralph.
You're a dumbass.
You could not eat that much in 21 years.
I don't understand it, but it's all about the eating, right?
Yummy.
What's wrong with you?
I'm talking about Szechuan sauce,
right?
Right?
It's the collectability of it.
It's not Friday chips. Stop it. Look, it's a food item. I thought we were talking about a food item.
But nobody wants to eat it. Oh. It's from the 90s. Who wants to eat 20-year-old sauce?
That's my point.
No, it isn't.
Why do some people tune out?
Oh, my God. So this one woman put up that she wanted to trade something for her Szechuan sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started getting offers. And her name is, what's her name here? Damn it, I can't find the name. But, it is Rachel Marie in Macomb, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
She put it up that she was willing to trade her sauce for something expensive,
uh-huh.
Something good.
Go
make
on.
Her an offer.
All right.
You know what she ended up trading her sauce pack for?
I would guess some D.
No.
No?
D,
oh.
Golly.
All right. See, 2004
Volkswagen GTI.
You're kidding
no,
me?
No, she has a new car now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wasn't even the base model. It's the turbo. Four-cylinder with a five-speed manual transmission. And now she got a car. She was offered a car, and she took it, and she traded a car for Szechuan sauce.
I am willing to trade my sauce for a vintage Carmagia, if anyone from Volkswagen wants to get a hold of me.
What kind of sauce are you trading? That's what I want to know.
Pretty dried up by now, I bet.
I mean, we were having fun. We were choking around. Things were fine.
Then Bean had to come and just ruin it for everyone.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Old cobwebs.
You couldn't eat that much.
Not in 21 years.
What about the eating of it?
Like more sauce than a person would need.
It's not Friday,
Jeff. It's not Friday.
It is when I don't come in tomorrow. It's going to be Friday.
It's Friday for you, Ralph.
Why did you say 21 years?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't. No, I wondered where you came up with 21 years.
I thought you did, too.
I thought you said you couldn't eat that much in 21 years.
I said if you live to be 100, I think is what I said.
I don't know.
That's very different.
Yeah, he said live to be 100.
That's what I thought I said. And for some
I hate to come in and correct.
Allie with the fake news.
Well,
but
because
you believed it right away.
I did, absolutely.
Wow. I wonder where it came from. And then I thought, well, Allie knows I'm 79, so she's just doing the math. She just figured it out.
Okay, let's go home. What do you say?
Really? You sure?
Celebrity birthdays today, October 12th. Hugh Jackman was born, 49 years old today. Boy, he's a good-looking fellow.
He sure is.
And a good actor, and it seems like a good guy. Kirk Cameron's 47 years old, and Josh Hutcherson is 25. He's dreamy, too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour, you bet, thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. I'm going to tell you, Ralph, I know you're threatening to boycott tomorrow's show already.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to want to come on back because, first of all, McGee is going to be here, the very, very talented director McGee, who's done so much great work. And he's got a new series on Netflix, or a new movie on Netflix that looks amazing. Carpool Karaoke has been released today with Linkin Park. We'll go through that. It's bittersweet. But, man, that was filmed within a week of losing Chester Bennington. And you'd never know in a million years because he's having so much fun in this. We're going to do great news on the show tomorrow. We're going to keep it 100 on the program tomorrow. And more tickets for you to see Depeche Mode. You're running out of time. Those shows are here at the Hollywood Bowl, and we've got them for you tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock.